Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to the best of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. We do have a news story on the program, so do stay tuned. But first we go into the archives with a program that was broadcast November 26th, 2011. And by the way, you're listening to Media Network Plus, heard around the world on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM in North America, Sky Digital in the UK, and starting this week to Europe in DRM on 7590 kHz. Yes, DRM. What is that about? Well, you'll have to stay tuned. Now, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to 1979. The month is December. I just celebrated my 9th birthday. One of my presents was a new Sony shortwave radio, which at the time was top of the line, not by today's standards. And I also received a single from my grandfather. Yes, a 45 RPM. You remember those, 7-inch in diameter with a hole in the middle. Well, this is not a usual single. You're saying to yourself right now, why would you talk about a single on a show about communications? Well, this was a single that he bought in 1959. It was released by the Helicrafters Company. At one time, Helicrafters was one of the leading manufacturers of shortwave equipment. And they released a single called The Amazing World of Shortwave Listening. And this 45 RPM recording was used to promote shortwave radio with all kinds of fascinating clips. Well, just recently I found it in a box that I haven't unpacked in years, and I listened to it. And what strikes me is that despite the fact that this is from 1959, it still is very important today. Historically, not just historically, I should add, but also today. That's right, today. Because those who remember what shortwave radio was like back in those days will have a lot of fun listening to it. And those who are not so familiar with shortwave radio will still get the message of the amazing world, as it's cut, says on the disc, that shortwave radio opens. So we're going to take a listen to that full recording. It's narrated by Alex Dreyer.
This is the sound of adventure, and I am Alex Dreyer, your man on the go, here to escort you on a most unusual trip around the fabulous, fantastic world of shortwave radio. Through the facilities and cooperation of the Helicrafters Company, world's most respected name in communications, this limited edition recording will bring you a new dimension in history, in current events, in excitement and drama, the likes of which you may never before have experienced. So please turn on your imaginary shortwave set and join me now as we scan the bands for the voices of adventure, new words and new sounds. From outer space to little America. From aircraft pilot to rock and roll. From a fishing boat captain to genuine Italian opera. Every sound authentically reproduced directly from actual shortwave broadcasts you might have heard in your own living room on a Helicrafters shortwave receiver. For instance, here is an event that made the front pages of newspapers all over America last year, the dramatic capture of a desperate criminal named Richard Carpenter, who had shot a policeman in Chicago, Illinois. Through a sixth sense, known only to the best of newsmen, a field reporter literally was on the firing line with police during the capture, relaying the entire proceeding with a mobile shortwave transmitter. Listen closely now, and you'll hear the actual gunfire and the excitement that follows.
Those were the shots in front of 2048 Potomac. They have him up there now. Police are all crouched behind the cars. You can hear them firing at him now. Is he on the roof or is he in the building? He's in the third floor of the building. Is it Carpenter? It's Carpenter. Time is 11 minutes after 9.
They've got him.
They've got him. They're bringing him out now. They're taking him out now. Get out of the way, will you? this man while they lead him away. The street is full of people. The police are walking here and next to an officer with a submachine gun pointed in the air.
Of course, incidents like that don't occur on shortwave every night, thank goodness. On the other hand, you can tune in on the regular police broadcasts, and they make pretty exciting listening. You've heard it said that the only way to learn a foreign language is to live in a foreign country. Well, maybe so. But if someone in your family is a language student, the next best thing is shortwave radio. Twist the dial a few times any night, and a linguistic paradise is yours. In fact, every language spoken by man. Spanish.
Voy a cantar el himno, qué rica bendición.
Magnífico, Loida. Es un himno muy adecuado para cantarlo en este programa.
French.
Mon âme et mon âme surabonde. Nous verrons l'or et l'azur. Les ciels glacés dessinent la vraie lumière.
German.
Rudolf Stockhaus, Ringen, Vardons.
And if you want a new twist on American jazz music, you might tune in your helicopter's receiver to something like this.
Der junge Rock'n'Roll Star, eine eigene Komposition.
Whether time is critical to your business or you're merely fussy about details, shortwave will bring you the National Bureau of Standards WWV exact time report periodically, 24 hours a day.
National Bureau of Standards WWV. When the tone returns, Eastern Standard Time is 8:55 p.m.
Everywhere we turn, we read about this modern air age of ours that thrives on a pace we earthlings can scarcely imagine. But with a helicopter's shortwave receiver, it's a simple matter to get in tune, so to speak, with the men who live in the stratosphere, the pilots, and the tower control men who guide them. And here's just a sample.
Miami Air Force 17, Manor 7, that is affirmative. Air Force 12678, over.
Air Force 17, Manor 7, for Air Force 12678, Miami. Roger, thank you.
And here are some voices that were heard literally around the world not long ago when a group of radio amateurs aboard a globe-circling military plane talked to hundreds of amateur stations during Operation Worldwide.
W8OLJ Aeronautical Mobile, QRZ, this is Operation Worldwide. Around-the-world flight on military air transport plane C-54, 50564, calling CQ, calling CQ, calling CQ.
Yugoslavia calling, YU-1 able to. Certainly nice to hook up with you there from that worldwide operation you have. The name here is Mirko, Mike Ida, Roger, King Ocean, M-I-R-K-O. Mirko is the name and location is Belgrade, of course.
The YU-1AD, W-8OLJ. Okay, fine, Mirko. This is the FBM-200 is the transistorized helicopter transceiver. W-8AW, are you still on there? W-8AW, go ahead.
Back to Earth again. Down on the Gulf Coast, even a landlubber like me gets advance notice when the tuna fleet is coming home, if the wind's in the right direction. Fortunately, the canneries have much more accurate data, thanks to the modern miracle of powerful shortwave radio telephones aboard the boats. Most every night, you can pick up conversations like this.
I'm trying to do that. I mean, you could probably get a piece of inch and get it in there, and then you'd have to weld it pretty tight on the end of your drum to hold it to keep it from rattling around in there.
Fortunately for mankind, the sort of language you'll hear next is spoken infrequently, and America will not forget that it was spoken even once. On the 2nd of September 1958, Soviet jet fighters over Armenia shot down in cold blood an unarmed U.S. military transport plane, apparently having lured it over the border with faked radio beams. Its fate might never have been known, except for the alertness of shortwave monitors who actually tape-recorded the voices of Russian flyers taking part in the slaughter. Listen and remember. And if you've tired of Westerns on TV, try the shortwave bands any evening for a different kind of live dramatic fare, direct from Laos or Lucerne, or London.
How many times have you seen Morrison and the deceased man talk together?
I did not take notice exactly, but 2 weeks before the crime, he was too much friendly with him. I saw him every night when I came from my work.
You gave evidence at the police court?
Yes.
Did you say this? I had known the prisoner about 2 months. He was friendly with Baron about 2 weeks before he was murdered. I have seen them a couple of times talking together. Is that correct?
In the United States alone, there are more than 185,000 amateur radio stations. They are operated by doctors, scientists, mechanics, even housewives, ordinary folks with a boundless curiosity, a spirit of adventure, and an urge to know and understand and help their fellow man. In times of disaster or emergency, in wartime or peacetime, radio amateurs provide a lifeline of communications where no other can exist. Recently, for example, a man in Evanston, Illinois, answered his telephone one evening and to his utter astonishment found himself talking to his brother at the South Pole. The conversation relayed by local radio amateur Marvin Eichhorst. Listen.
Carl, I was just wondering, I wonder if you could tell me something about the camp life down at the South Pole. And, by the way, how's your weather conditions down there, Carl? It's on the mild side here in Chicago. Come in, please.
First, I will start off and say, well, I am about, I'm better than 10,000 miles there from Chicago, down here at Low America. And Low America is located about a mile and a half or 2 miles inland. It's located on Canaan Bay on the Ross Ice Shelf. On the Ross Ice Shelf. And we're on ice here. We're on ice that is about 800 feet thick. And the ocean measures about 2,000 feet deep under that.
And even on the amateur bands, the mind of woman is as wonderful and mysterious as ever.
Stay down there on Sanibel, over.
At a perfectly wonderful place called the Island Inn, which we love dearly, and I think you would like it also. It's very simple. You wear shorts all day, and then maybe wear a cotton dress at night. We get up around 8. We go to bed around 9. Over.
Well, it just sounds divine.
As man's horizons broaden, not merely to other lands, but to other worlds, his communications lifeline must broaden too. For without communication, man would be totally lost in this universe. On the 11th of November, 1935, a United States Army balloon established a world altitude record of 73,395 feet into the stratosphere. Its name, Explorer 2. Shortwave receivers for the home were virtually unknown then. Otherwise, you could have heard this amazing three-way shortwave conversation between the late Captain Edwin C. Music, world-famous airline pilot, Captain A.W. Stevens aboard the balloon, and a newspaper reporter in London, England.
Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yes, certainly.
How's everything going?
Well, everything's going all right. We're going down now. The altitude that we have at the present time is less than 30,000 feet now.
Hello, Captain Stevens.
Hello.
This is the Daily Telegraph, London.
This is Explorer 2.
Congratulations to you and Captain Anderson on your great achievement.
Thank you very much, sir. We're descending now a little too fast, and we're putting out ballast.
Oh, dear.
So I'll have to sign off, I believe, and get back to my duties. Thank you very much.
Hello, Captain Stevens.
Yes?
Just one more word. What about that rip in your balloon?
What about it?
Yes, what happened?
Well, we fixed it. It was a rent about 17 feet long.
Was it really?
Well, now, listen, you'll have to excuse me because we've got to get busy.
I hardly need add that man's progress in the quarter century since that historic event has been fantastic. The name of that gas-filled spaceship and the statistics are remarkably significant today. For in December of 1958, a new American Explorer, Explorer 4, was launched. And from a height of not 14, but nearly 1,000 miles, you could have heard on a shortwave receiver the most dramatic message of hope and faith in modern history. The voice of the President of the United States, President Eisenhower.
Goodwill toward men everywhere.
outer space to Timbuktu, from pilot to sea captain, from overseas news to music in Rio de Janeiro, the great events of history and excitement of the moment are yours with the twist of a dial. You're in tune with the world, the amazing world of shortwave radio with a Hallicrafter's receiver.
Now we jump to the future. Spaceline Limited in Bulgaria has begun special broadcasts in the DRM mode, DRM standing for Digital Radio Mondiale. The broadcasts are called DRM Mix. The project is to highlight reception quality of a wide variety of programs. Media Network Plus is very honored to be part of this. DRM Mix is heard Saturdays from 1800 to 21 hours UTC on 7590 kilohertz. This program, the one you're listening to right now, is heard at 1830 UTC. Ventislav Georgiev from Spaceline now joins us on the show to talk more about this fascinating project.
Well, the aim of the project is very simple. As you say, not so many people know about what DRM is. And our aim in the project is to attract the listeners with something special, with new interesting programming from famous interesting stations over the world. Some of the stations that even stopped broadcasting on shortwave. So our idea is to attract the listeners and to gain a new audience for the shortwave and for DRM, and to show how unique is this media for everyone nowadays. As I said earlier to you, internet is and broadcasting over internet is something very fascinating. It's very interesting, but just consider if something happens without internet, with internet, and we live without internet. So what will going to happen then? We have to turn to some other alternatives, and I think one of these alternatives is DRM. Also, it's according to my opinion, DRM has some specific audience, the people who like high quality, let's say, abroad from their homes. And I think this is something very unique as a position DRM that provides, this unique opportunity for the listeners to enjoy a good programming abroad. So this is our aim, to show the advantage to DRM of DRM to the listeners, and to attract them to buy a shortwave DRM receiver and to enjoy good programming. And of course, we are also aiming the broadcasters. We just would like to show them that shortwave has a future, and they have not to lose that quickly the hope and the, of course, audience, the specific audience of the shortwave.
One of the interesting things about DRM is something that people don't realize. It's been around for some time, and there are some broadcasters. For example, if I take Radio New Zealand, they've been using DRM to send their signal to local stations in the Pacific, which has picked off a DRM receiver and then retransmitted on FM. And the quality sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We did the same experiment here in Bulgaria, but it was on the medium waves. So it appeared that this technology is also this unique advantage of the possibility to deliver a signal without quality loss over big distances. And this is something which cannot be achieved with FM. It could not be achieved with the internet, especially at the remote locations. By the way, this is also a good alternative to the FM broadcasting, especially into the areas where you have to cover with a lot of FM transmitters because of the terrain, and it's much more easier to do it on medium wave, just, you know, considering that you can replace thousands of FM transmitters just with one medium wave and deliver the same quality over the wide area. That's just amazing. It's unique.
Well, we certainly hope you enjoyed that program from the archives that were broadcast in 2011. And now we go to some new content. Over the past 3 years, the ABC, that's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's correspondent, James Glenday, has been based in Europe. During that time, he has witnessed terrorism and reported on political turbulence. Well, he's bidding farewell to Europe as he returns to Australia. And now we take a look at what he has to say about his time in Europe.
When you walk around Westminster, where the ABC's London Bureau is based, so many people seem to be striding purposefully along, staring intently at their phones. Journalists, politicians, lobbyists and staffers all frantically tweeting and posting and plotting to keep up with the churn of the constant news cycle. Of course, that's not a huge surprise. The historic area is the beating heart of British political life. But over the past few years, the pulse of the place has seemed to quicken as the global beacon of stable democracy has been rattled by the most complex issue in a generation: Brexit. Ever since Nigel Farage triumphantly declared, "We've got our country back," in the faint dawn light in June 2016, there's been drama. Too many scare stories, scuttled plans and leadership rumblings to mention. Yet with the UK's exit from the European Union looming, I'm still surprised by how many big questions remain unresolved. The media is polarised, so is the public, and every development is viewed through the grimy periscope of deeply entrenched positions. Compromise seems a dirty word. Of course, this fractious political mood is not unique to England. Across Europe, big parties are getting smaller and small parties are getting bigger, making some complex coalition governments seem increasingly fragile. In this environment, the political fringes have been emboldened. I've met well-off Bavarians determined to get a far-right party into parliament for the first time since World War II. French factory workers simultaneously espousing socialist and nationalist economic policies, and Polish Catholic campaigners determined to keep Muslim asylum seekers out of the country by any means. Some of these groups are fiercely, almost fanatically loyal to their tribe or campaign. Objective journalists are an obvious target, and the vitriol that's ended up in my inbox has ranged from the comical to the disturbing. But more interesting, to me at least, has been the significant number of self-described centrists who seem dissatisfied with, anxious about, or forgotten by the political status quo. After spending several days with supporters of now French President Emmanuel Macron last year, I was struck by how many thought their lives would not be as good as their parents. These were not, for the most part, activists or social media warriors, but relatively well-educated, well-off and well-travelled young people who were convinced that only a new political movement could achieve change. My stay in Europe has coincided with a series of high-profile disasters. The Grenfell Tower inferno is the most horrific thing I've ever seen. The nerve agent attack in Salisbury was shocking. Reporting on it and the so-called presidential elections from Moscow was frankly surreal. But it's the terrorism, the deliberate mass murder in the centre of normally safe cities that will stay with me the longest. I've covered 9 major attacks and many smaller ones. The pictures, sounds and smells after the atrocities in Nice, Berlin, London and Barcelona are seared into my mind. Much to the frustration of my family, I still can't sit comfortably in a street-side cafe or linger in big crowds. For a time, I became slightly obsessed with the strategic placement of bollards. Islamic State-inspired terrorism is just one of the many reasons media pundits claim Europe's established political order is being tested. There are many theories. Is the turbulence driven by a working-class pushback against globalisation, or are people fed up with institutions like the EU? Is this all a consequence of the global financial meltdown? What was the impact of the continent's more recent migrant crisis? And more importantly, where will it all end? You could pontificate endlessly, but if I've learned anything from the past few years, it's that making political predictions is a bit of a mug's game. There are undoubtedly some parallels with what's taking place in Europe at the moment and where I'm speaking to you from. Donald Trump's USA. My beautiful, unbelievably supportive wife and I are in the middle of trying to find a new house and get our 2 young daughters settled in Washington, D.C., as I prepare to start my new job as ABC North America correspondent. The few times I've discussed politics with the locals so far, there's been a distinct sense of fatigue. In my final days in Westminster, I made a real effort to look up from my phone and appreciate my surroundings. I've always been fascinated by the area's historic buildings, many of which are pockmarked by fragments of wartime bombs. In a weird way, I find them strangely reassuring. They're a constant reminder that whatever challenges Europe faces, the continent is currently dominated by stable, peaceful democracies. The people living in them are in many cases healthy and, on a global standard, wealthy. Things have been much, much worse. in this era of turbulence, it seems something worth remembering.
That was James Glendave of the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, returning home to Australia after being the ABC's correspondent in Europe, based in London, for the past 3 years. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the program. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care, 73 and 88 to the ladies.